Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Drop the Gloves with Wichita Thunder head coach Malcolm Cameron. Drop the Gloves is a weekly program that gives you, the fans, the opportunity to ask the Wichita coach questions about the Thunder, hockey or sports in general, or just seek the coach's wisdom about information that's going on in the world out there. In this week's episode, the coach talks to us about the big victories over the Indy Fuel this past weekend. He talks about what it takes to be a good fighter in hockey. And the coach describes what it takes to build good chemistry in the sport. So let's get right to Drop the Gloves. Let's welcome back Coach Cameron this week. Coach, do you have team updates for us?
Nothing right now. No injuries. Got all 23 guys healthy.
Well, that's a good start to the season.
It is. I mean, guys got nicks and bruises and stuff, but nothing that would keep anybody out of the lineup. So right now we have three extra forwards and two extra defensemen, and enjoy it while you can type of thing, because that stuff doesn't last.
I remember last year, was it 22 that was on the roster? Did they increase the size then this year?
No, we guaranteed 23 at the beginning for the first month. After 30 days, you have to pare it down to 22.
Gotcha. So yeah. You have two big victories over in the Indy Fuel this last weekend. What were some of the things that you thought about your team's performance?
Well, I thought, you know, we got to get a little better with our structure, and especially defensive zone off the rush. We were much better on Saturday night, but that's something we've really been focusing on. I think we have really good team speed, and obviously our forwards are quite skilled. So we want to get the puck as quickly back as possible so we can transition the other way. I thought, you know, due to our lack of communication, maybe over back checking a little bit, we had to play in our own zone more than we should have. But I anticipate us being that much better this coming Saturday.
There was a big change in the penalty killing between Game 1 and Game 2. I get to listen to explanations of stuff, but fans don't really get to hear that kind of thing. What was it that was the difference between the two?
Well, we had a chance to pre-scout him, obviously, by watching the game film from Friday night. Really going into Game 1, you're a little bit blind because, you know, in an exhibition game, sometimes teams don't play their best players. They don't really work as set units on the power play. Plus, there's no video of it, so you really can't pre-scout. So we were kind of going in blind like they were against us, but once you get a chance to see them play and break it down and show guys in video, and quite honestly, we should have killed off all of them, all seven of the PKs. We actually had the puck on our stick for the one goal we gave up with a chance to clear, and we didn't. So I think if we can continue to be detailed like we were Saturday, we're going to have a good PK.
The line of Kyle Platzer, Matt DeBlau, Zach O'Brien were really flying. What are you seeing out of this line early?
Well, they got a lot of elements, speed, skill, you know, obviously good vision. You know, Matt DeBlau has got probably the, you know, if he's not the fastest skater, he's in the top five in the ECHL, so his speed is a threat all the time. You know, Zach is a really intelligent, gifted playmaker, and Kyle's kind of a hybrid of the two. He's quick and he's fast. He's also a shooter, which I'd like to see Zach shoot a little bit more because he's got a good shot. But I think they're a real good complement. They feed off each other's strengths.
You got really good goaltending this weekend. It looked like the team had a lot of confidence that if they made a mistake, the goalies were going to come up with a play for them.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, teams have to know that their last line of defense is a solid one, and also that he's going to make the saves that he needs to make. And you ask your goaltenders to just stop the pucks they're supposed to, and then if you can pull one out of his butt, that's a bonus. And I think our guys were very, very confident.
You face Rapid City this weekend. What are some things about them that kind of appeal to you? Or?
Oh, I haven't really had a chance to watch them yet. That'll come probably later in the week. Right now, we're just focusing on us for the first couple days of practice, things that we need to do to get better against any team that we play. As we get into Thursday and probably a little bit tomorrow, we'll be you know, kind of working against what we need to do to beat Rapid this weekend, or at least put ourselves in a position to beat them.
We had the fan questions. We start with Jessica, who's got two questions for you. She'd first of all like to know what it takes to be a good fighter in the league.
Well, it really has nothing to do with size or strength, to be honest with you. I think the biggest thing is you got to have courage. And, you know, guys, everybody is always put in a position where they have to fight, but some guys are really good at it because they're not afraid to take a punch. And they know they're going to have to take one to give one or give two. So I think the biggest thing is courage. And then technically, knowing the potential guy that you may have to fight against. What is his tendencies? Is he a lefty? Is he a righty? Guys study everybody's lineups. You know, we get media notes and lineup notes before the game. Guys will take a look at the roster and see who's playing that night and know, okay, well, he's a lefty, so I'm going to have to fight him this way, that type of thing. And so those are the two things I would say, courage and then kind of a pre-scout.
I didn't realize you were scouting for that part of the game as well.
Yep. Absolutely. Well, the players do it individually on their own.
Okay.
Because they know.
Interesting. Jessica would also like to know, she says, I also like to watch the two players yelling at each other when they are taken to the penalty box after a fight, but I cannot hear what they are saying. What is the banter going on between them?
It's usually a lot of four-letter expletives. It's not usually anything worth sharing over the air.
Kevin would like to know, he found it was a surprise that Colorado was joining the AHL. Does that mean that San Antonio will be joining the ECHL?
No. San Antonio will remain in the American Hockey League. The goal is to get 31 at the NHL level, which they have, and then they need 31 teams at the American Hockey League level. There's currently 30, so therefore two teams are sharing an AHL franchise in San Antonio this year, Colorado and St. Louis, and that's not ideal. So St. Louis has got some of their prospects in Chicago and some in San Antonio. You would like to have them all in the same environment.
I would gather that would mean you're not getting your guys all the ice time you want.
That's right, yeah. You're really at the mercy of the team that you're working with. So you want to have all your prospects together so next year Colorado comes in as the 31st team.
Vic would like to know, what do you think has been the greatest success story in terms of the player you have coached?
A few, actually. I mean, I've had quite a few guys gone on to play in the National Hockey League. Maybe Anton Khudobin, who played for me in Texas and Florida. He went on and won a Stanley Cup with the Bruins as their third goaltender. And he's a guy who never had it easy. He's originally from Kazakhstan and moved to Russia. Come over to play junior hockey in Saskatoon. Started out in the ECHL for 2 years. He was goaltender of the year and climbed his way from the East Coast League to the American League on to the National League, and he's currently still the backup with the Boston Bruins.
Wow, that's pretty cool. Edie asks, because you're affiliated with the Oilers, will they ever send stars like they had from the past to Wichita as kind of a promotion?
No, they won't. I mean, none of those guys are employed with the Oilers, so with the exception of Wayne Gretzky and... he's part of the management team of the Oilers, so no, I wouldn't expect to see any former Oilers here.
No Paul Coffey or anything.
No. Those guys all have their own lives and businesses and everything like that. So none of those guys are currently working for Edmonton.
Carmen would like to know, what happened to James Melendi? He was her favorite player.
Well, James Melendi, we qualified his rights this summer to maintain them. He subsequently signed with the San Diego Gulls this summer, whose ECHL team is in Utah. They wanted to acquire his rights because they wanted to keep all their players in the same place, just kind of like the Oilers do. The Oilers wouldn't send any contracts to Rapid City or Tulsa or Allen or anything like that. They send them to us. So we ended up trading James's rights to Utah so that he could obviously stay with San Diego and Anaheim's affiliate.
But he stayed in San Diego, though.
No, he's in Utah.
Oh, he is?
Yeah,
okay.
He's in Utah. And I was comfortable and happy with our defense corps and didn't want to change it.
Ethan would like to know, every year it seems that some kind of team surprises the league and really has a big season. Who do you think has made the best moves that would enable them to move up the season in the NHL?
You know, it's hard to say because it's so early still. Obviously teams like Edmonton and Ottawa surprised the heck out of everybody last year. Ottawa, with all the injuries that they had, were able to go on a pretty lengthy playoff run. I think Edmonton certainly, turned the page first time they made the playoffs in 10 years. So it's hard to say who's going to be the next Edmonton or Ottawa this year. I guess it's probably a better question to ask in a month when we can kind of see who's taken off.
Sean would like to know, what are exercises that can help quicken your wrists so that you should shoot wrist shots quicker?
Well, a lot of guys do wrist curls, reverse wrist curls, hammer curls, which are also for your biceps. And then we have a device, we use a hockey stick, but it has a rope attached to it with a weight, and guys will roll it up and roll it back. So anything like that are good exercises for building wrist strength and grip strength. And the other thing, grip is such a big part of your shot. So squeezing a stress ball or a tennis ball or anything like that, you know, 30 seconds on, 30 seconds off, do that for a couple of minutes, that'll build strength.
I would take it any muscle group around there that you could work on would be
absolutely
benefit.
Yep.
Finally, we end with Coach Mike, who says, how do you build better team chemistry between players on a hockey team, and do you think those same methods are transferable to other teams?
It's hard to say because, you know, I don't know a whole lot about basketball, to be honest with you. You know, a team sport like football, it's almost like there's two or three teams within a team. You got your offense, your defense, and then your special teams, which are kind of those teams within the team. In hockey, it's all about guys buying into what their role and responsibility is on the hockey club and what kind of player that they are. As a coach, you may see them as a real good defensive specialist, somebody who's, you know, really, really reliable out there without the puck and to do the right things with the puck, but they fancy themselves as a goal scorer. And to have that kind of disconnect is not great. The chemistry part is guys buying into that and everybody on our team respecting the role that each player plays in the team so that everybody is equal part of the team. You don't build a star mentality. I think teams like that fail when coaches or media or management or whatever props up certain superstars in the public. That stuff gets into the locker room and then people feel like, oh, well, he's the star. I'm really not that important on this team. I think the biggest thing is the players within that locker room have to have the same respect for the top scorers. They do, you know, the best defensive defenseman or the backup goalie. And once everybody respects that, you've got great chemistry.
That's interesting because I hear coaches in other sports talk about that not everybody gets treated the same way on a team because, you know, the quarterback is obviously in a lot of teams better than, well, viewed as better than the offensive lineman or the safety or whatever. Is that true in hockey? Do you treat everybody kind of the same?
I treat everybody the same, whether they're the captain, whether they're the 10th or 11th or 12th forward on this hockey team or the number one defense. I treat them all the same way and I hold them as accountable. Now, guys that are, you know, have a greater skill set, obviously the expectations become higher for a coach. So if you've got player X that you know is a real top-end player on your team, but he's cheating on the ice and he's not working hard and he's making selfish plays out there, I hold him as accountable as I would a guy who's got less skill and everything like that, probably even more so because he's got the more ability. And if he's not doing those things, he needs to be held accountable. And the players themselves hold each other accountable as well to play within a team structure. So that's how you build chemistry. Once your players can hold each other accountable and it's not just your coach and your leadership group's doing it and even the rookie players holding themselves accountable, you got a special group.
I would figure the truly great ones want to be treated like everyone else.
Absolutely. I mean, unfortunately, you know, in the major league sports, it's a little bit different because it's all marketing and, you know, for example, Connor McDavid. I mean, if he's not number one, he's number two best player in the world, you know, maybe next to Crosby, you know, but he's a media darling, you know, all across Canada. Everybody knows him, even here in the United States. Everybody knows Connor McDavid. He's on, you know, the NHL game on EA Sports. He's on the cover. You know, he's the next superstar out there. So he gets treated differently by the media, perhaps, than the fourth line left winger of the Edmonton Oilers. But I would stand to reason that his teammates treat him no differently than they do anybody else in the locker room.
Interesting. Well, thanks for joining us this week, Coach.
Anytime.
We want to thank Coach Cameron for joining us on Drop the Gloves this week. If you have your own questions you'd like to ask the Wichita coach, please send them to us at MalcolmCameron@MinorLeagueSportsSupport.com. That's MalcolmCameron@MinorLeagueSportsSupport.com. Please have your questions to us by Sunday evening so we can give the coach a little time to review them before we record the show. I'm Rob Pannier, the managing editor of the Minor League Sports Report, and we'll see you next time on Drop the Gloves.